You're listening to RTI Audio, powered by Rocky Top Insider. This is the RTI Press Pass with Trey Wallace.
RTI Audio, this is Press Pass. I am Trey Wallace, happy to be joined by my colleagues, Ryan Shumpert, Rick Butler. We're going to break down this past week of Tennessee fall camp, even though this is Thursday, and Tennessee just wrapped up their scrimmage a few hours ago, and though they will practice on Saturday, one more for the week. We want to go ahead and knock this out, just kind of discuss where things are, the quarterback situations, where they come with you know, the offense and defensive line. So, Rick, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Man, not too bad at all. I enjoyed going out to campus this week. I've enjoyed what we've gotten to do around the team, and team seems in good spirits. So I think on that front, it's easy to be around them. It's actually a very positive feeling, I think, right now around the team as they just look to get this thing kicked off here in a couple weeks.
Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Glad to be on here. And, yeah, it's a little bit different with them playing that first game on Thursday. You know, the weeks of practices don't necessarily align with the actual weeks. So kind of through 2 weeks now through Tennessee, and obviously a lot of questions still, but it's been good to be out there, like Rick said, and keep on learning more about this team.
It's wild that we're 3 weeks away from kickoff.
I know.
Like we're here. Like, you know, I mean, Tennessee scrimmage today, which is Thursday. They're going to practice on Saturday. You have a day off. They're going to practice on Monday. Then they're going to scrimmage again on Tuesday. So, you know, they're going full into this thing. And I don't blame them. We'll break down a little bit of what we heard from the scrimmage so far later on. But I, you know, Rick, kind of starting off with you a little bit, being out there this week for practice, listening to the players and whatnot, and hearing them after, you know, the coaches speak. What were a few takeaways, in your opinion, of what you saw on the field and also coming from the players?
So, all right. So let's break this down, I guess, in the two ways that you're talking about. Just starting out on the field, actually, I saw a lot of things that I was very interested in or kind of stuck out in my mind. But I'll start with the offensive side of things, starting with the receiver group. The receiver group looked fast, and they looked like they had some maybe talent that we haven't seen yet. And I say that in a very specific way. And just kind of the way that, you know, we got guys like Javonte Payton or a Ramel Keaton, right? Who or a Cedric Tillman, who we maybe have or have not seen at Tennessee, but not in the kind of role I think that we're going to expect them to be playing in this year. Kind of really trying to find that number two, number three, number four receiver for Tennessee. I've enjoyed watching the wide receivers go out there and play. They do look fast. They do look big. And I do think they have been rolling along with that. Another spot that I've really noticed is the really both lines, and I want to get y'all's opinion on this more, but really the offensive line and the defensive line, I think kind of the first thing that I've noticed is depth, right? There is a lot of these guys, which is good for Tennessee. Now, they did lose Kayron Calvert today, unfortunately, to an injury. He will be out for an extended period of time, according to Coach Heupel. But have you guys noticed the same thing about either side of the line? They're just the, and I know that we've talked about this before, but the depth really is impressive, and they're going to need it with such an inexperienced crew in this Josh Heupel system.
Well, Ryan, I'll kind of go at this real quick. You know, Kayron Calvert, you know, that's a bicep injury for him. He's going to be out for a while. I think that the depth-wise, that was always going to be a problem with Tennessee for the defensive line. They needed to find that straight-up too deep who was going to be able to, you know, contribute consistently. I think with the offensive line, it makes things a little bit more interesting now without Calvert, you know, because do you continue, you know, Darnell Wright sounds like he's going to play on the left side of the football. You know, I think we've come to that conclusion and where he's been practicing at, you know, do you slip Garvin in, you know, Garvin go play that guard position. I think Cooper Mays is kind of solidified the center spot, but that's still up for kind of grabs a little bit. But I would say, Ryan, that the offensive line getting those five in there, which, you know, Glenn Ellerbe talked about earlier in the week. He thinks he has 9 to 10 guys that, you know, could start on the offensive line. I'm not a coach, whatever. That's fine. I think that was a little bit over exaggeration of his offensive line. But I do think, Ryan, that they have, you know, at least three or four backups that they feel comfortable that they could plug in and play immediately if they need it.
I think the thing about the offensive line is I think you have maybe three of those guys, but at least two of them are on the interior. I think they have solid depth, especially when you factor in kind of the flexibility, guys that can play different positions, and that's something Ellerbe talked about earlier in the week. But from the get-go, I felt like offensive tackle was a question mark area, and with the injury in there to Kayron Calvert, I think that's a big concern with the depth. I mean, you just have really three guys there. I mean, Jeremiah Crawford is that fourth body, but it doesn't seem like he's kind of been in that mix of he's on the top line if he's going to get playing time, you know, kind of above that line. Are you going to play or are you not going to play? He didn't seem that way, at least before Calvert. Maybe he'll be thrust into that role now. And I've said it on here before. I've long been a guy that I thought Cade Mays was most productive at guard. From the start of fall camp, it looked like he was going to play tackle no matter what. This injury absolutely submits that. And even with Mays over there playing tackle, one of those guys that has versatility, you really just have three guys that I think Tennessee feels good about right now. So they're really, really thin, and injury is really going to hurt them on the outside. On the inside, though, I definitely think there is some depth. There are guys that can play multiple positions, and that's an intriguing group to watch.
Rick, when you look at the linebacker position, you know, we'll talk about the defensive line here again here in just a minute, but the linebacker position with Jeremy Banks, Juwan Mitchell, you know, they've been trying to roll Solon Page in there, Garland in there, get them as many reps as possible. Those two guys went through the spring, whereas Mitchell and Banks did not. Aaron Beasley is kind of in the fold there along with Aaron Willis. But I still feel like linebacker is one of the main problems when it comes to this defense, along with, you know, the line of scrimmage depth. You know, what do you make of linebackers and Jeremy Banks? You know, Jeremy Banks is also, you know, he didn't go through the spring, so he's trying to get acclimated and be ready to go on the field here with this Tim Banks defense. And then when, especially with a guy next to him like Juwan Mitchell, it just feels like they're trying to build up that depth at that spot, and they're kind of having a hard time doing it at the moment.
Yeah, man, I hear you there. So let's talk about Jeremy Banks for a sec. That was a guy who I was specifically watching kind of throughout the week and into last week at practice, because of how he was not out there for spring drills and just kind of going through. And I got to tell you, when I watched him, he looked like another coach on the field. I mean, he was running around everywhere. He was talking to players. He was communicating with other players, coaches, teaching people, learning from people. He was all over the place. You can tell that I think that Jeremy Banks is really kind of developing a leadership type of role on this team. Now, I don't know how that's going to affect his play on the field, but I do believe that for the other areas kind of around that, he is going to be a productive and a solid addition to this team and just being in that linebacker room. But now let's talk about the linebacker room itself. Man, I'm not really sure what to make out of it, right? We know that there are talented and athletic players at the linebacker position for Tennessee, but I don't know if a lot of them or the position as a whole in the majority really have that kind of experience that you would want for that position in the middle of your group. I know that there are talented players, but I still think that there are guys who are still learning maybe I don't want to say the beginning parts to the position, but are really learning kind of the basics to how this linebacker's position, how this defense is going to be run. So I'm interested to see how it goes. But I do think that this is going to be a group that very much improves as time goes on this season. Right. I do not know what the production is going to look like here at the beginning of the year. I don't know what it's going to look like with these guys kind of getting gelled together a little bit, with Juwan Mitchell playing his first action for Tennessee. But I do see this group getting better and just kind of with more experience as the year unfolds, or at least I hope they do. And Tennessee's going to need them to as time goes on.
Ryan, when you look at the defensive side of the football, you know, you've got some gap fillers along the line of scrimmage. And we're about to talk about the scrimmage that they had today at Neyland Stadium, but you've got guys. I mean, you know, Matthew Butler, Latrell Bumpus, you could throw Elijah Simmons, Dejon Terry, Caleb Tremblay. I could go on. Byron Young coming off the edge, Tyler Barron coming off the other edge. You know, you've got certain players, but what makes you hesitant, Ryan, with this defensive line? Is it the lack of production that we've seen from a lot of this group? You know, do you think Ronnie Garner can get that out of them over the next 3 weeks before the season begins? And as the season progresses, what do you make of the defensive line, Ryan?
Well, I think that was certainly a positive from today's scrimmage, and I know we'll get into more of that a little bit later. I think my biggest concern with the defensive line is just the pass rushers. I think you're right. They have the guys in the middle. They have a depth of bodies. They have a couple guys. You don't know if they have anyone that's going to be a difference maker. I think Dejon Terry seems to maybe have that potential a little bit to be more of just a gap filler type player. But they have plenty of those guys, and I think they'll be fine there from a depth standpoint. Question remains on just how productive that top end can be. But at the pass rusher spot, I mean, you don't have hardly anyone that has much experience playing there. Roman Harrison, just a little bit. Tyler Barron, just a little bit. I think those guys, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they combined for maybe 3 sacks in their career. Obviously, Byron Young is a guy that looks really good, had a good spring. But you have no one that's truly been out there and had the production going out, getting sacks, being an actual edge rusher. Because I think Tyler Barron's strength last year was kind of playing the run in that outside linebacker spot. It wasn't rushing the passer, and he had a good freshman season.
That's a good
and then point. You add the fact that there just isn't a ton of depth there. Jaquan Blakely is another guy that's is rep there, gotten some starting reps. But I think you really just have those four, unless Morvin Joseph gets a little bit of action there. But I don't see that happening more than just an occasional third down pass rush role. So I think the lack of experience pass rushing, and then I don't think they have a ton of bodies there either.
Okay, so I want to talk about the Brian Maurer situation before we get into the scrimmage, because we might as well get that over with. Brian Maurer posted a cryptic tweet, whatever. He does this all the time. And let me phrase it too. When we're talking about this situation, it's not like we're downplaying a kid or anything like that. It's just, if you've been on the Tennessee beat for the last 3 to 4 years, 3 years, 3 years, 2, 3 years, with Brian, you get used to stuff like this, is the best way to put it. And it is what it is. It's the day and age of social media. But Brian Maurer posts a cryptic tweet or Instagram on Tuesday night, you know, saying that in 4 days, I'm paraphrasing, but 4 days, my dreams come to an end, 18 out, I'm a soldier, whatever. Then he edits that. Well, then he's not at practice on Wednesday. And you know, my thought process into that was, okay, if he's not showing up at practice today, there was a reasoning for it. Come to find out, after talking with some folks, is Josh Heupel, you know, and then he talked about during his press conference on Thursday, Josh Heupel spoke with Brian Maurer about where he was on the depth chart. And he was going to be fourth. There's no way of getting around it. Like, they were going to get reps for Bailey, Milton, and Hooker. Seems like Brian Maurer didn't quite take that well. I was told that Maurer and the coaches, I don't want to say agreed to, but thought maybe a day or two off would be good. Then they're going to have a conversation about their future, which Josh Heupel backed up today during his press conference by saying that he will talk with Maurer on their off day, which is on Friday, tomorrow. Y'all's thoughts, Ryan, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on Brian Maurer from where he was talking at Media Day, I don't know what, 2 weeks ago to
week and a half
to where we're sitting at on a Thursday. And by the way, he made it a point to let people see him walking out of the facility today at Tennessee with his Smokey's Grill food. So, you know, Brian Maurer is very articulated when it comes to how he plays the media. But Ryan, your thoughts on the whole situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's not anything that's super surprising. It feels like ever since the end of the, I guess that'd be the 2019 season, his freshman year, it seems like these rumors of him transferring have been consistent. And I mean, it's not a shock. I think all of us going in kind of knew that he was, at least going into fall camp, he was that fourth quarterback. That's kind of where he was viewed. And we heard Alex Golish and we heard Josh Heupel say that within 1 to 2 weeks, they want to get it down to three or even potentially two quarterbacks. So, you know, knowing what we knew, it only seemed natural that Maurer would be that guy. So obviously you mentioned Heupel had the conversation with him. He mentioned that today at his press conference. So I don't think it's super surprising. I don't think it's super surprising that Maurer is upset by that and might look to transfer because of that. So and none of it was particularly surprising to me, but now we kind of in a waiting game, see how Heupel and Maurer's conversation goes tomorrow, what that looks like. But I think it's more about where Maurer's at with this. Does he think it's worth his time to go ahead and transfer now and try to be fully ready to go, I guess, you know, practicing with a team? I don't know how that he wouldn't be. He'd have to get a waiver, right, to be immediately eligible at this point in the transfer portal.
No, he'd have to. It depends on if he goes to a school that goes by a quarter system compared to going by a full semester system. Okay. But also, I mean, he could drop down a level,
yeah,
and go play immediately. You know, if he wanted to go JUCO, I guess. But guys, I got, you know, I'll be honest with you, like Rick, I got this sneaky suspicion that he's going to be at practice on Saturday morning. Like they're just I don't know what it is. I guess it's dealing with Brian Maurer stuff of the last 2 to 3 years, but you know, I could still see him being in practice on Saturday morning and being like, well, you know, if I can't go anywhere else and nobody's showing any interest, because he's not in the portal. As of our recording at 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, he is not in the transfer portal. Rick, would it surprise you to see him at practice Saturday?
We'll be right back. And now back to the show.
No, it actually would not. And I think because of everything that you've heard, or I think there are instances where, I don't know, I think instances where, you know, players or just people in general, right? They need some kind of reaction to something in the moment. And we've all been there, right? Where we maybe send out a tweet or said something we shouldn't have said that was really reactionary in the moment. And then thinking about it a little bit later and kind of taking all the pieces into consideration, having a little bit more perspective on the situation, you might not feel that way. And that's kind of how I took his Instagram post. I took that as his original caption of, you know, something like, they took my dreams after 4 days or something like that. To me, I took that as very much a reactionary statement, right? Just probably having a lot of emotions wrapped up in you and really wanting to get something off your chest. Meanwhile, I felt like with the edit and then obviously not being in the transfer portal, being there on campus and in the facilities today. And then, like you said, if we see him tomorrow, that to me is a lot more of kind of the, you know, the more solid judgment, you know, I guess just a better understanding of maybe where he's coming from. But ultimately, no, it wouldn't surprise me to see him on Saturday for the practice. And, you know, essentially just about the whole Instagram post, that's what I kind of chalk it up to being. I don't know what the future is going to hold for Brian Maurer. He could leave, he could stay. We don't know. But I that's at least how I take that Instagram post. Man, you know, a lot of kids in today's world, especially in that generation, they're used to social media being around all their lives. So sometimes for a person going to social media and putting out some kind of post like that, reactionary, is just one of those methods of kind of getting through your anger or frustration or whatever emotion it was. So that's how I take that. And no, I wouldn't be surprised if I see him on Saturday.
A lot of that's getting attention, though, like wanting attention.
Sure,
like
sure.
You both can agree with me on that. Like, you know, you don't post something and then 30 minutes later you go change the caption. Like, you got what you wanted out of the original post, you know, whatever. The fact that we're talking about technically the fourth string quarterback right now in fall camp shows you, I'll say this though, it shows you how good of a job Brian Maurer has done in kind of keeping himself in the news in Knoxville over the last 2.5 years. Like, if there's anything, I give him credit for that.
I agree. And don't you think also, I kind of take that in the same way. Who is the other quarterback that a lot of people are talking about? I think it's Joe Milton, at least from what I've seen the most. So even a guy like Harrison Bailey, who people have been waiting to see in some kind of, you know, I would say dominant role or just some kind of prominent role. That's probably a better word. Even he is just not being talked about as much, but he is a returning guy just like Maurer is.
I agree. Ryan, any final thoughts on that? You think he shows up Saturday?
It's just a guessing game. I have no idea. I mean, I just say, you know, the conversation we're going to have tomorrow, I think Heupel's been pretty honest about what the situation is. I don't really see where Heupel's message is going to change tomorrow. So I think it just comes down to what Brian Maurer decides to do. And as we've seen, seems like his mind changes pretty frequently. So who knows?
All right, let's talk about the scrimmage today. I was told, I'll go ahead and throw a couple things out there before we kind of get into hype. I was told the defensive line played really well today, and this is not, please people, don't take this as saying, oh man, the defensive line killed the offensive line or anything like that. You know, offense kind of struggled at times. I was told the offense had about two good drives out of the scrimmage, but the rest of the time the defense was playing pretty well. The defensive line, I was told, played good today, forced a few three and outs, didn't let the offense extend things. I was told the linebackers played pretty decent going up against this fast-paced type of offense. Anis Akobi had himself a touchdown today. When you look at, there were no turnovers per se, you know, no direct straight-up turnovers. For the quarterback situation wise, I was told, and it kind of mimics what Heupel said. I was told that Milton had his moments, Hooker had his moments, and Bailey had his moments. But overall, this was the defensive day, and the defense won the day. So, you know, I'm interested to see how that plays out now on Tuesday. I think Rodney Garner is getting a lot out of his defensive line group. They were able to get pressure today, and I think that paid off for them. Now, how does that translate, you know, to the next day where the offense is in sync and, you know, they're rolling and, you know, they don't have miscues, you know, like they had, you know, during Thursday's scrimmage. So that's kind of where we're at with that. Ryan, what were a few things that stood out to you from Josh Heupel's press conference when talking about the offense and defense?
Yeah, no, I think today was one of those days that we saw or are reminded, I guess we see this every day, that Josh Heupel is an offensive guy, because he came into the press conference and he wasn't angry or I'd say even in a bad mood, but he was a little more irritable today, and you hear him start talking, and the defense definitely won today. You could tell that, and the defensive line especially was my biggest takeaway. He was talking about how much different that unit is from the spring. And he specifically kind of went in the meeting room. They're so much different. The mindset is so much different. The attitude, the camaraderie. It felt in a way kind of like a shot at the, get those guys that transferred out, Daryl Middleton and Greg Emerson, about how much better the leadership was and all that. So that's a group that I've said since the very first day of fall practice, I was intrigued by. They continue to develop well. And then the rest of what Josh Heupel said, I don't think there was any shockers. I think that maybe the most disappointed he was those three and outs. He referenced that they had to run some quarterbacks possessions back to back just to get him snaps because they were having too many three and outs. And look, Josh Heupel's offense is predicated on playing quick, keeping defenses off balance. If you can't get that first down, and there's no playing quick. There's, you know, that's out of the equation. So getting drives of any ability is so important in this offense, and it seemed like the defense did a really good job of getting three and outs today and getting off the field quick. On the other side, he said no turnovers. I think he said no interceptions. So you saw the quarterbacks were taking care of the ball well, and I think that bodes well for Joe Milton. Even though maybe he wasn't spectacular today, he had his moments. I think consistency and taking care of the ball is really where he still has to prove, I guess, because the talent is certainly there.
We'll be right back. And now, back to the show.
Ryan, one last question on that part. Did you, when talking about the run game, and, you know, he thought that they played pretty decent today, I guess, but, again, we go back, the defensive line, you know, held their own against this offensive line today, is is this something where you could see, you know, they start trying to figure out who the three and the four guy is? Because I think it's pretty obvious that it's going to be Jabari and Tyon, you know, as RB1, RB2, you know, in lined up, you know, it could potentially be lining up next to each other in some formations on the field.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another point Heupel made. And one of the few things I think he said that was really positive about the offense is he talked pretty glowingly about Jabari Small and Tyon Evans. And I think he said, he's like, we're good with those two guys. We got to see what the younger guys can do, what D Beckwith, T Hodge, Jalen Wright. So I'm completely with you. I think those guys are one and two, or 1A and 1B. And the buzz from them continues to be really, really positive. So I think that's certainly a positive, I guess you could say. And the question now is just who else emerges. And I think we probably won't learn anything about this until the first game. But what you just mentioned, I'll be really interested to see how much they use Small and Evans on the field at the same time.
Rick, when you look at Josh Heupel and what he got up there and said today, you know, you could tell he was kind of agitated a little bit with his offense, you know, but like Ryan just said, he's an offensive guy. So when you see the offense not do well, you're probably going to be a little agitated. Kind of goes on the stuff that we've heard already coming out of the scrimmage, that the defense won the day and that the offense had pretty much two decent drives and then it was defense. What were some takeaways from Heupel that stood out to you?
Yeah, for sure. So I want to start out by just kind of echoing what you guys said. I definitely felt like just kind of watching his demeanor, and it came through in person, and it came through both over the video that, yeah, he certainly wanted to see more production out of his offense. But I got to say, I do find it a good takeaway that the defense might have been a little bit more pepped up, a little bit more jazzed up so far here in the first scrimmage, because I think that's the biggest question mark as a whole on this team. Right. Well, we do believe that Josh Heupel's implementation of his system, his scheme, everything else that he is going to put into the Tennessee offense is really going to help it, especially once they get their quarterback in place, once they get all their starters in place, the offensive line, the running back, all that kind of stuff, and then really get to start using that offense on the field. The defense, though, we've been a little bit more questioned of. Or we've had a little bit more of a question too, I should say, whether it's like the linebackers that we just talked about, whether it's something like the defensive line, which I think that we've been pleasantly surprised by here in the first week of camp. I do find it a good takeaway that they are already out to a good jump, because I do believe that the offense is going to be able to make that climb once they get a couple more positions locked in under play. So I do find that a positive takeaway for the Tennessee team. Not that anybody doing bad, or at least having somebody else do something good against them. Not that that's ever good, but hey, I mean, it's just scrimmage. We're just in camp right now. It's not a real game. So I think in that sense, it is okay. Otherwise though, it just kind of feels like there's a good energy, right? But also kind of an aggressive and a detailed energy, I think, in the room. You can tell that Josh Heupel still believes that there's a lot of work to do, but I do think he believes that they're on the right path. That definitely stood out to me so far during the press conference.
Ryan, what are some things, you know, without knowing in full detail, what are some things you think Saturday they need to brush up on, just from the practices you've been able to get out there and watch, leading into, you know, Tuesday scrimmage? And are you surprised, you know, they roll with a Saturday practice off Sunday, go Monday, and then go straight into a scrimmage on Tuesday? Kind of feels like they're trying to get a lot of stuff done before these kids start classes.
No, I agree. I that is very interesting to me that they're going that quick back into another scrimmage. So I guess there'll be two practices just before they're back out in Neyland Stadium scrimmaging. So that is interesting to me. That, you know, I hadn't even thought about that. But yeah, first day of practice, or first day of classes next Wednesday, that makes a lot of sense that they want to go ahead and get another scrimmage in before that. And I think that's another thing where you're seeing the Thursday game just has the timetable pushed up a little bit. As far as what needs to get cleaned up, to me, I think offensive line, just getting the continuity and continuing to develop Darnell Wright at that left side, get him more comfortable. Try to, you know, whether it's Jeremiah Crawford or moving someone over there, trying to get someone else, a fourth person that they feel better about at tackle from a depth standpoint. And on the defense. I think it's continuing to make strides at linebacker, continuing to find more guys who can contribute there that you feel good can play significant snaps. And then I think the one spot on defense, I guess we haven't talked about, and the one spot that's kind of an overlooked competition is nickel. Rest of the defensive back room, you feel pretty confident about who the starters are going to be or who the top two or three players at each position are going to be. Nickel, I think that competition is still completely open, and I think that's going to be really important for them to figure that out before they kick off at Bowling Green in 3 weeks from today.
Last question, Rick, to you. You looking ahead, kind of same question as Ryan. Some takeaways you're looking for, because I want to see how the defensive line comes out, you know, on Saturday, see if they can capitalize off the scrimmage performance. You know, I'd like to see, you know, on Monday, you know, how does the offensive line kind of get back going? And I don't want to say get back going again, because I don't think they lost a lot. I just think yet, you know, not in sync on a few different things. But also, you know, how does the quarterback situation look on Monday, you know, compared to how it looked yesterday before the scrimmage? And then, you know, what's it look like on Tuesday? Because these guys, you know, starting classes, you know, next week, things get a lot more difficult where they've had it, I don't want to say kind of easy, but they haven't had to focus on their studies along with what's going on the field as well. Rick, what are you looking forward to most of the next 3 to 4 days?
Yeah, man, I definitely think that Tennessee right now is trying to get as many of these players in a good position as they can before they get all of this academics loaded into their day. But yeah, let's start out with the quarterbacks. I do believe fully that it is going to be interesting to see what happens, because again, I think sometimes in those first couple of days of camp, you saw a lot of drills that included, you know, two quarterbacks at once, kind of throwing to different sides of the field and just kind of a lot more basic stuff, right? Getting route trees done and things like that. And at that point, they did have the freedom to just say, hey, we're kind of just getting guys in the motion of things. We're just kind of trying to get these guys reps. We're going to run two guys and then two guys and then these two and then these two and then these. So there was a little bit more of a kind of just what I believe to be a flow to some of these drills. Whereas now going into the maybe later part of fall camp, and especially in the back half of fall camp, there's going to have to be more emphasis on structured drills and getting certain plays, getting certain formations and schemes the right way on the practice field, as opposed to just kind of your typical route trees and things like that. So it's very much going to be interesting seeing the order of rotation for the quarterbacks, seeing the rep distribution from the quarterbacks, because rep distribution, again, I think is a really big factor in kind of determining what things are going to look like as they play out further. But I'll throw in one more position for you guys. Actually, I'll throw in two just because I can. I'll throw in running backs first, talking about those guys. Look, that's an inexperienced group to me, but I still feel like they have so many different capabilities that they can bring to the table across the group, though. It's kind of the thing. Tennessee doesn't really have one do-it-all running back. They have a lot of running backs who can do it all combined. So just kind of figuring out how those guys are going to be used and implemented is very interesting. And then the defensive backs, just kind of seeing how they're continuing to progress through their drills, progress through their motions, figure out what that secondary is going to look like, especially going up against these Tennessee wide receivers here in practice and in scrimmages. That's what I'm really looking forward to here coming up in the next week or two.
You've heard it all. That's how we break it down. We'll do this again on Monday as we get prepared for Tennessee's next scrimmage. I appreciate Rick Butler. Appreciate Ryan Shumpert joining. I'm Trey Wallace. This has been Press Pass. We will get back to you next week. Have a wonderful weekend. Continue following Rocky Top Insider for all your coverage that you want and need from Fall Camp 2021. We will be out there on Saturday, and then we'll start this thing up again next week. For all the boys, I'm Trey Wallace. Peace.